The reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam from the third canto, chapter 25, entitled The Glories of Devotional Service, text number 41.
Nanyatramat Bhagavata
Nanyatramat Bhagavata
Pradhana Purushishvara
Pradhana Purushishvara
Atmana Sarvabhutana
Atmana Sarvabhutana
Ayanti Vinam Nivartate.
Ayanti Vinam Nivartate.
Na.
Na.
Not.
Not.
Anyatra.
Anyatra.
Otherwise.
Otherwise.
Ma.
Ma.
Than myself.
Than myself.
Bhagavata.
Bhagavata.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Pradhana Purusha Ishvara, the Lord of both Prakriti and Purusha. Atmanaha, the soul.
Sarva Bhutanam,
of all living beings.
Bhayam,
fear.
Tivram,
terrible. Nivartati is forsaken. Translation. The terrible fear of birth and death can never be forsaken by anyone who resorts to any shelter other than myself, for I am the Almighty Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original source of all creation, and also the Supreme Soul of all souls. Report. It is indicated herein that the cycle of birth and death cannot be stopped unless one is a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord. It is said, Harim vinana sritim taramti. One cannot surpass the cycle of birth and death unless one is favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is a very long purport, and I think I'll just make some comments here and there, interjecting in the middle, step by step, because my memory is otherwise not able to process so much information all at once. So here, the point is made in the verse that only by taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, can one be freed from the cycle of birth and death. In the purport also, the verse, Harim vinana sritim taranti, one cannot surpass the cycle of birth and death unless one is favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hari is being raised. And that is significant. We may recall the second offense against the holy name, and to consider the names of demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be equal or independent to the name of Lord Vishnu. Exactly for this reason, because neither Lord Shiva nor Lord Brahma can actually free us from the cycle of birth and death. Only the Supreme Personality of God, Narayan, He who is the shelter of all men, can do so. Only through the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can we become free from this material sojourn. So that is essential, because here in the material world there is no peace. There is no question of ever having a peaceful or truly happy life in the material world. One can be relatively happy, but material life is such that one is doomed to suffer. Just like Smita Krishna Maharaj, once I met him in Mayapur and I sat down next to breakfast and he said, I figured it out. I said, Maharaj, what is it? Tell me, be merciful. He said, it's easy. Just suffer and be happy. So, that is a devotee's perspective in the material world, where we are transcendental, happy in our transcendental understanding, and meanwhile in a material body, and with everything that comes with it. Just suffer and be happy. So this is the best we can make of the bad bargain of being in the material world. So it's very important that we make it a priority to go back to Godhead. It was Prabhupada's motto, it was Prabhupada's mission to create facility for everyone to go back to Godhead. And there is no other purpose. Therefore, this movement is directed at that, and it is not necessarily directed at a comfortable life. That may or may not be. That depends really on the karma and the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Whatever He grants us. Sudama got a palace, but we may not. So whatever we get, and that we just take it. And it's not that spiritual life is a life of negation. Before coming to Krishna consciousness, I investigated many different so-called spiritual traditions and groups. And when I came to the Tibetan Buddhists and I was reading about Milarepa, who lived his whole life in a cave eating grass soup, and the result was that he turned green. Then I thought, that may not be my process. I kind of found that in a convincing argument. So, what to say? Our process is not a process of self-denial. It is not a process where we are not allowed to live, a process where we are not allowed to experience any pleasure on the material plane. We are allowed, but we should know that it's basically impossible to get very much pleasure in this material world, and never enough to be satisfied. So, back to Godhead remains our focus, remains our motto. I'll continue reading from the purport. The same concept is confirmed herewith. One may take to the system of understanding the absolute truth by one's own imperfect sensory speculation, or one may try to realize the self by the mystic yoga process. But whatever one may do, unless he comes to the point of surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, no process can give him liberation. So again, we are seeing that worship of any other deity will not do it, nor will a process of mental speculation. Of course, it is stated that the impersonalists can actually attain a state beyond. They can attain a state of entering into the Brahma Jyoti, which is in the spiritual realm, which is beyond the Viraja River, which separates the spiritual world from the material world. And they can enter there, but however, because they are not situated in the constitutional position in an eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord, patantiyana dritta yusmadangrahaya, again, they will also be forced to come back down. So it's also not enough to be free from the cycle of birth and death. Therefore, devotees, as is stated in the Nectar of Devotion, do not have any interest in liberation. Liberation, Bilva Mangala Thakur stated, is standing with folded hands at the door asking for service. But no interest, no time. Too busy in devotional service. So only within devotional service can the soul actually take any pleasure. We may be enjoying in this material world. That may be so. There's no doubt about it. I heard that the devotees of London, from London, are going to have a pizza party today. The news is out. Right? So, I'm sure that for many, pizza is appreciated more than just chapati. Right? So, what can be said? We all know the difference. We can see the difference between something dry and something juicy in this world. So, pleasure may be there. That is a fact. Pleasure may be there. But the soul can take no pleasure. The soul takes no pleasure in cheese and tomatoes. The soul will only take pleasure in the fact that it has been offered to Krishna. That is the only pleasure of the soul. There is no such thing that the soul can enjoy a sunny day or the French Riviera. There is no such thing. No. The soul, just like Krishna, the soul is of the same nature of Krishna. And as Krishna cannot enjoy the material energy, Krishna is only enjoying his internal energy, the soul equally so. No. That is a fact. Therefore, real satisfaction in depth, in the depth of our being, cannot be found in any material activity, but only in devotional service. And nowhere else. And whatever gives us pleasure in life, real pleasure, is only devotional service. And all these other things, they may satisfy the senses, they may satisfy the mind, that's alright, but not the soul. No question of satisfying the soul. Satisfying the intelligence, we can be satisfied on so many levels, but never on the platform of the soul. That can only be in the relationship with Krishna, and only that can elevate us to the spiritual world. One may ask if this means that those who are undergoing so much penance and austerity by strictly following the rules and regulations are endeavoring in vain. The answer is given by Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.32. Yen yirvindakshya vimukti manana. I already quoted from that verse by using the last line, patantiyana dritti yusmadangrahaya. Yen yirvindakshya vimukti manana. That verse is referring to seeing the lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead. Without seeing the lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot truly be satisfied. And therefore, even if one attains liberation from this material world, still, due to lack of satisfaction, one must return to the material world. Just a minute. This is cutting in the neck. Lord Brahma and other demigods prayed to the Lord when Krishna was in the womb of Devaki. My dear lotus-eyed Lord, there are persons who are puffed up with the thought that they've become liberated or one with God or have become God. But in spite of thinking in such a puffed up way, their intelligence is not laudable. They are less intelligent. This is referring to that verse, Yenir Vindaksha Vimukti Manina. Purport continues. It is stated that their intelligence, whether high or low, is not even purified. In purified intelligence, a living entity cannot think otherwise than to surrender. Bhagavad Gita therefore confirms that purified intelligence arises in the person of a very wise man. Bhavanam jamanamante jnanavamam prabhadyati. After many, many births, one who is actually advanced in intelligence surrenders unto the Supreme Lord. Yes, spiritual life does not just mean blessings. There is no doubt that we are getting so many blessings. The blessings are unlimited. Here, whatever dust there is on the floor and being thrown up into the air by the feet of the devotees is full of blessings. Just seeing the face of a Vaishnava, we see tilak and are being blessed. There is prasadam everywhere. The C.C. Radha Gopinath are blessing us. So much transcendental knowledge, an ocean of transcendental blessings. But spiritual life is not just about blessings. In fact, spiritual life is all about surrender. The blessings are simply there to help us surrender. But the essence is not blessing, the essence is surrender. The blessings are support. Of course, blessings we need, blessings we desire. When we study, some years ago, I gave a seminar on which was called the mercy, expanding the mercy in all directions. And it wasn't so much about a Sankirtan devotee who's trying to distribute the mercy everywhere, but it was more how the Supreme Lord is expanding His mercy and how His mercy is expanding. And we did some research on the various terms that are being used for mercy in the scriptures. And we could see that the word daya, which is used for mercy, was generally used for distributing the mercy in large, to a wide audience, to everyone and anyone, just give the mercy. Sometimes the word kripa was also used for that, but the word kripa was also used more specifically for a devotee who was asking, please, give me mercy. Right? Kripa. Right? Some interchanging was there, but we could see the stress was on kripa, was more on a personal element. And then in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, when we saw the descriptions of the eternal associates of the Supreme Lord, residing with the Lord in Vrindavan, then the term for mercy that was being applied was more the word prasad. Right? So prasad. Prasad being mercy, not just foodstuffs that, or not just yajna sista, remnants of that have been offered in sacrifice, but prasad being anything coming from the Lord, being prasad. And how the residents of Vrindavan saw everything as prasad. Right? Everything is the mercy of the Lord. So, in that way, we are looking for blessings in the term that we need prasad, we need that constant mercy of the Lord. But that mercy is found in service. The greatest mercy is in giving and not in taking. The greatest mercy is in what we can do for the Supreme Lord, not what He is giving us. And that is the secret, the great secret that goes by unknown by practically all the followers of Vedic culture. In the 19th chapter of the Madhya Lila Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing Srila Rupa Goswami. And in the beginning of these instructions, we find a description of a comparative study of the position of different living entities. And it is described from the lowest, simplest life forms, the least developed life forms, then gradually coming to higher life forms, gradually coming to the human form of life. And then it is described, when one comes to the human form of life, most human beings not civilized and actually being no better than Dvipada Pashu, two-legged animals. But then coming to the point of those who are actually devotees, who are, and it said, and of those who are followers of Vedic culture, right, and who are devotees, most are simply rendering lip service. That is the point that is being made. So lip service is one type of service which is rendered to the Lord. Yeah. But as long as one's lips are not constantly repeating the holy name of the Lord, that lip service will be incomplete. Lip service in general is referring for those who are not so familiar with English, lip service refers to the kind of service where one is speaking about surrendering to Krishna, but one is not actually doing it. That is lip service. So real service must be surrender. So this surrender is very essential. Srila Prabhupada continues in the purport and says, without the surrendering process, one cannot achieve liberation. The Bhagavatam says, those who are simply puffed up, thinking themselves liberated by some non-devotional process, are not polished or clear in intelligence, for they have not yet surrendered unto you. In spite of executing all kinds of austerities and penances, or even arriving at the brink of spiritual realization, in Brahman realization, they think that they are in the effulgence of Brahman, but actually, because they have no transcendental activities, they fall down to material activities. There is a huge difference. The impersonalist who is trying to somehow or other overcome the material energy has to do so on the strength of his power. The yogis equally so. The yogis, by dint of building up their personal spiritual power, have to somehow or other conquer the material energy. Therefore, by great force, they have to attempt again and again to control the senses and the mind. And they have to remind themselves that actually whatever is attractive in this world is only a covering of the illusory energy. And that therefore this material world, right, it's nothing but illusion, and actually it is all suffering disguised as illusion. Therefore, any beauty in this world has to be rejected. Right? But then in Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, we find a description where it is says that for the devotee, that the beauty in this world is recognized as the smile of Krishna. So that is very nice. So we don't have such a hard process of negation, of denying the world. We can actually appreciate a nice road. Ah, for Krishna. Yes, definitely. Ah, delicious preparations. Ah, to be offered to Krishna. Beautiful cloth for decorating the Lord or his devotees on a festival. And so on and so on. So, the beauty in this world can be appreciated, right, when it is connected with Krishna. And in this way, Krishna consciousness is by far the superior process. It is the natural process. It is the only practical process. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was only a small child named Nimai, once his mother brought him some sweets. And she gave him the sweets, and then she was walking away. And as she's walking away, she saw that he didn't eat the sweets. But instead, he took a lump of clay, just dirt from the ground, and put that in his mouth. So she turned around and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "What is the difference? What is the difference? Whether I eat this clay or whether I eat clay, transformed clay in the form of sweets, it's all the same." And Mother Sachi said, "Who taught you this nonsense philosophy? What nonsense is this? I'm giving you nice sweets and you are eating clay." He said, "But why are you so angry? It's just sweets are just a transformation of clay." She said, "No, but this is nonsense. Not that it's all the same. If you take clay in the form of a clay pot, you can keep water in that clay. But if you just throw water on a lump of clay, you'll get a big mess." And Nimai said, "This is a very, very interesting explanation you gave. Very practical, actually. And I can actually see that this impersonalist philosophy is very impractical, and I will give it up right now. And from now on, I will not eat clay anymore, but but rather I will take the milk from your breasts, he said to his mother. Right? So in this way, Nimai made distinction, right? And pointed out that the first point in regards to Mayavad philosophy is that it's totally artificial. We see variety in all directions, and constantly one has to philosophically say, it's not real. It's not real. I also encountered this in India on my travels when I was still looking for the goal of life. For many years I traveled through India looking for the goal of life, and at one point I had come to the Tibetan Buddhists, and they were they were spinning these prayer mills, and this old Lama was there, and I was hoping to make some contact with such an interesting personality. And as he walked past, I greeted him. No reaction. So he was walking in circles around this prayer mill. So I thought, like, well, maybe he's old, you know, maybe he was deeply absorbed and a little deaf, maybe he didn't notice me. So I thought, the next time I'll try a little more convincing, you know. So I said, hello! he ignored me again. So I was kind of like taken aback, you know, what's going on right here? And then I happened to have, on that journey, I had recently received the Bhagavad Gita as it is, and I opened it up and I read a page about impersonalists who were considering that everything was a projection of the mind, right? And I thought, that's what it is. He thinks I'm a projection of his mind. And I immediately found that a very impractical philosophy, because I really felt like, whatever I am, you know, that can be debated, but I'm not a projection of his mind. I was quite convinced about that. Right? So, that did it for me. That was the end of Buddhism. Goodbye. Yeah. I learned a lot from that Lama. Definitely. So it's so impractical. This is one of the first objections. One can make so many objections. But such an impractical philosophy, and then Krishna consciousness, totally practical. Everything can be used in the service of the Lord. Just as we are now about to study in the Bhakti Shastra course, the Isupanishad, where it is stated that everything is complete in its relationship with the Supreme Lord. Whatever is in the relationship with the Supreme Lord is complete. And that is our business, to connect everything with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Brahman realization is incomplete. It is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Vadanti tat virastam jnanam vayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti sabjate, that the undivided, I like that, the undivided absolute truth is divided in three. That's really like, it's one of those cryptic verses. Yeah? The undivided absolute truth divided in three. Yeah? Namely, Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Iti Sabjate. This is called Advaya Gyan, the undivided absolute truth. That is Krishna, who, it's the one saying Supreme Lord, but he happens to be manifesting himself in these various ways, in his personal form, then expanded into the Paramatma form, and finally into the form of Brahman. And the source is Govindamadi Purusha. So, therefore, it is said here, one should not be satisfied simply with knowing that one is Brahman. He must engage himself in the service of the Supreme Brahman. That is bhakti. That is bhakti. The engagement of Brahman should be the service of Parabrahman. Just as in the introduction of Srimad Bhagavatam, the point is made that the discussion is about param satyam. It is said, because janmadiyasi atunvidyati taratas, and then finally the last word, param satyam dimahi. So in the first verse of Bhagavatam, the point is param satyam, Therefore, Srila Prabhupada writes in his introduction that the subject matter is Param Satyam, the Supreme Absolute Truth. But the purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam is to point out that Param Satyam is Parameshwar, Param Ishwara, the Supreme Controller. And as soon as you speak about controller, then you speak about a personality. The impersonal is not controlling. Personality means control, that we know. Everyone has experienced, whether personality means control. Whether you are married, you're experiencing, or whether you live in the temple president or GBC, but someone is trying to control us, always. There's always someone who's trying to control us. Have you noted it? I have. I have consistently rebelled against it, and I will not give up. I will keep on rebelling and rebelling against this controlling. But then, there is one exception. There is one exception. And that is, we can be controlled by love. That is the point. Just like in one lecture, Srila Prabhupada goes into practically an ecstatic state of consciousness, and he begins to describe Jaya Radha Madhava. And he says, yes, Radha Madhava, the lover of the goddess of fortune, Madhava. He is the lover of the goddess of fortune, the supreme lover. And said, and for his loving relationships, he is all attractive. Because there is no other way that one can attract other than through love. So, very profound, actually. A real deep explanation of the meaning of Krishna, of all attractive, what really all attractive means, through love. And that is missing in all these other paths. All the yogis or impersonalist philosophers, no love. It's all about power. You see them in Kumbh Mela doing their parade. At the beginning of Kumbh Mela, there's a big parade of all the mahants. And they're all walking there. Their eyes, when they look at you, you're like, poof, you know? It's like thunderbolts are shooting from their eyes. Such intense people. And you see them sitting there. In the hot sun, in the cold, right? And just, day and night. Austerity, for you I'll suffer. Suffer more than anyone. Suffer the most in the whole world. The eyes become like fire. Scary. And we're so casual, We're the most casual movement that we've ever seen on the spiritual path. It's like you look at pictures of Thai Buddhists, and it's amazing. I saw several pictures, and recently I saw a picture of a million Thai Buddhists in meditation, all sitting with their own individual little mosquito net, in formation, like just as on the floor, there's a black square on every intersection of tiles, and exactly, they were sitting in formation like this, all looking the same, 1 million of them. Right? I mean, 1 million. You'll never get it together in ISKCON. Right? Even if you try. There's no question. No question. They're not possible. We are the most casual, the most informal. By the way, we're going back to Godhead. It's not like, we don't have the capacity to have such a rigid focus, to be so strong and like think our whole life, we're going back to Godhead. Sometimes we forget, and sometimes somehow or other, the mercy is still there, and that we want. We want that mercy. So then we're back. Sorry, Krishna. Forgive me. What can I do? I just. So it is all depending on love. It's a whole different mood. Whole different mood. Let me just see where I was. It is said that unless one becomes Brahman, one cannot serve Brahman. Okay. The supreme Brahman is the supreme personality of Godhead, and the living entity is also Brahman. Without realization that he is Brahman, spirit soul, an eternal servitor of the Lord, if one simply thinks that he is Brahman, his realization is only theoretical. These kind of statements are a little bewildering. And this is the problem with the Vedas. The flowery language of the Vedas is bewildering the mind. And there are many people who know some fragments of Vedic knowledge and then, for the rest, add their own fabrications and make it into some sort of philosophy. And many of them are always presenting the same point, that when you are giving them some explanation of Krishna consciousness, they'll say, very interesting, and then they'll say, but I have my own philosophy. And then we say, oh yes, you do. And they say, yes. And then, well, what is it? And then sooner or later they explain you that it's all one. And then we say, really? You thought of that all by yourself? So original. Amazing. Amazing, right? Wow, how did you get that idea? Wow. And that's your own philosophy. Incredible. Right? Because all the speculators always wind up with the same old boring tune, you know. Is there any variety? No, there is no variety. It's all one. Well, I was afraid so. Right? You're going to bore us to death, right? Which is ultimately exactly what the fate is of the impersonalist, right? They're going to be bored to death, right? Go to the Brahma Jyoti and get bored. Right? Yes? Get bored as long as you like. Right? Stay there as long as you like, until out of utter boredom, out of being totally bored, right? Bored. So bored that you just say anything, you know, anything is better than this, even the material world. And knowingly how miserable the material world is, the impersonalist has to go back. And he knows he's going to suffer. But it's too boring in the Brahma Jyoti. This is the fact of the matter. So, therefore, whenever we discuss impersonalism, it's a very difficult topic because it's so boring. It's like very hard, right, to spend a long time discussing Mayavad philosophy, because there's nothing more boring than Mayavad philosophy. It's the ultimate, most boring thing in the totality of existence. Yeah. So, therefore, let's read a little more. The Supreme Brahman is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the living entity is also Brahman. Without realization that he is Brahman, spirit soul, an eternal servitor of the Lord, if one simply thinks that he is Brahman, his realization is only theoretical. He has to realize and at the same time engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord. Then he can exist in the Brahman status. Otherwise he falls down. The Bhagavatam says that because non-devotees neglect the transcendental loving service of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, their intelligence is not sufficient, and therefore these persons fall down. The living entity must have some activity. If he does not engage in the activity of transcendental service, he must fall down to material activity. As soon as one falls down to material activity, there is no rescue from the cycle of birth and death. It is stated here by Lord Kapila, without my mercy, nanyatra mad bhagavatam. The Lord has stated here to be Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, indicating that he is full of all opulences and therefore perfectly competent to deliver one from the cycle of birth and death. See, Prabhupada is so nice, that like simple things, the Lord is full of all opulences and therefore he's perfectly competent. Just little things like that are so deep, right? So deep. Little statement like that takes it beyond just book knowledge, which you can repeat. You know, yes, full of the all opulences, Sada Isvarya Purna, yes, we know the Sanskrit, yes, we can listen to all wealth, all beauty, all knowledge, all strength, all fame, all renunciation. Okay, no problem, we can rattle it all off in all the lists, right? But then Prabhupada is thinking about it, right? Is awake, is not on automatic pilot, just reparroting Srimad Bhagavatam and just repeating knowledge, but is totally awake and is realizing, yes, he is full of all opulences. Therefore, who is more qualified than he is? Therefore, he is certainly perfectly competent, the Supreme Lord, to deliver one from the cycle of birth and death. Whatever, can someone turn off his UFO? It's probably outside. You know, what it is. The conch shell. We have electronic conch shells here. Jai, thanks a lot. Nothing is so intense, these electronic sounds. The whole nerve system is immediately on edge. Whereas when there's friendly mowing of the cows outside under the trees, everything, these are pleasant sounds. These are kind of sounds that pacify the mind. And therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is existing in the spiritual world, in a world full of variegatedness, full of unlimited devotees and associates, who are all expressing their deep attachment for the Supreme Lord. And therefore, in the spiritual world, everything is ecstatic. Here in the material world, there can be a fly buzzing around your head, especially in Radhadesh or countryside places. You may get these kind of things, right? In the city. Less chance, but here, you know, there's always a few flies around, right? That's part of country life. I had them in my room trying to harass me. But in the spiritual world, no flies. No flies. It said those kind of creatures are different. They're like bees. Then it said the bees in the spiritual world, they are also making noise, but if you listen carefully, you can hear they're glorifying Krishna. So when it's said in Vaikuntha, people stop to hear that glorification. In one lecture, Prabhupada says that even if there are flies in the spiritual world, then they are also devotees of Krishna, also glorifying Krishna. So there may be some ambiguity about it. But then one lecture said no flies. So what can we say? Liberation, it is devotional service is liberation. But we are not feeling it. We are engaged in devotional service, some of us for many years. Some of us have so many years ago taken up devotional service, but we are not experiencing this state of feeling liberated. We still feel harassed. I don't know if everybody else has it, but I always feel harassed, right, by someone or something, right, constantly. Right? The weather right now is harassing. I'm not sure if it's hot or cold. I can't figure it out. It's very strange. One moment I think it's cold, and then 10 minutes later I'm hot. Like now I'm really hot. I'm thinking it's too much trouble to take off this sweater.
It's called a sweater for good reasons.
So I'm sure in the spiritual world they're not called sweaters, right? Because you don't have to sweat there. But here, always some harassment, constant harassment. So even if we're in devotional service, harassment. But then it is at Iha Yasya Harida Si Karmanamana Sagira Nikivaswapya Vastasu Jivan Muktasu Uchate, that even in this material world one can reach that state beyond all harassment, where one is no longer feeling harassed. One may be harassed, but one's not feeling it. And therefore it is not actual harassment, because harassment is only harassment as long as it gets through. When it doesn't get through, it's no longer harassment. That's the point. So one can reach that stage by being so absorbed in the Supreme Personality, in the service of the Supreme Personality of God, that one is no longer even interested in any discomfort of the material world. That is the stage described in Bhagavad Gita. Apuryamana machala pratistam apasamudri bhavisanti yatvat kamayat bhavisanti sarade yat kama kami nasanti sasanti avnoti. Such a person actually becomes peaceful in his devotional service. At least peaceful on the material plane, not disturbed, but not agitated by anything on the material plane. So that can be already attained within this body, and therefore we are not so concerned about liberation. Still, it is stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that still, although the devotee does not desire liberation, still the Supreme Personality of Godhead takes him back to Godhead. Because in his heart of hearts, a devotee is desiring to be always in the association of the Lord. And Krishna, knowing that desire, is certainly taking the devotee back. Even if the devotee is praying, oh, just let me serve here, birth after birth, janmani janmani svare bhavatat bhakti rahita kitme. Even if a devotee is praying like that, still the Lord takes him back. They may keep him for a while. Or not. That, we don't know. That's an individual matter. He is completely independent to do anything and everything. Supreme Lord. So, in that way, we depend on him. And he'll decide what our destiny is. He'll decide what our life will be like. He'll decide what we get, what we don't get. We simply beg for a little bit of devotional service, and that we may continue to chant his holy name. That's all. And then everything is perfect. So with that, I end. And if there are any questions? If there are no questions?
No, it's my... Why did you not translate Godhead? Why not back to God?
Actually, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur coined that phrase and that concept, because God is a confusing term. The term God is not including Ananta Rupam, unlimited forms. But Godhead is more describing the unlimited forms of the Lord, Parashya Shakti Vividaiva Suyate. So the term Godhead includes actually in its very definition all the incarnations of the Lord, all the energies of the Lord in his total variety, and he's simultaneously one. So therefore, Godhead includes Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Therefore, the term Godhead is the correct term for
not back to God. No, we don't want to go there. We want to go back to Godhead. Ishvara Brahma Krishna Satsivananda Vika Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes, Bhaktamiya.
You spoke about Buddha, is there?
Buddha, Buddhism.
Many times, and I would like to know if there is any. Is it okay that we get also some different like the song Jade, the Shambhita Buddha Sharia, that we acknowledge Buddha, that is Krishna, and then we can get some realization from it?
You can acknowledge that he is an incarnation of Lord Vishnu. Yes, that is nice. But so to appreciate Buddha and offer respects to Buddha is very nice, but no Buddhism. Buddha is okay, but Buddhism is out. Yeah. Not a word. Yeah. Don't even sniff at it. Yeah. Don't even look at it. Yeah. As soon as you look at Buddhism, you know, like you can think like this is a highly contaminated, very unpleasant thing. Yeah. They are denying the Supreme Lord. They say Krishna doesn't exist. They say devotional service doesn't exist. The spiritual world doesn't exist. Prasadam doesn't exist. Yeah? The deities don't exist. They say you don't even exist. Why? You know, we wish that they wouldn't exist. How can we understand what?
That it's boring to be in the Brahma Jyoti, which
well, because although it may be the rays of Krishna, just like we say that Krishna is the taste in water, but that doesn't mean that water is Krishna. We don't put a glass of water on the altar, do we? Yeah? I mean, you're a pujari, you're for Krishna, but you're not worshipping a glass of water. Huh? That wouldn't be satisfying. So in the same way, the energy of Krishna. So Brahman is the energy of Krishna, actually. Yeah? Therefore, this is the interesting point in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are there. See, there is a debate between the impersonalists and the devotees. And the debate is basically that the impersonalist says, Vivartavat. Yeah? The Supreme Personality, Brahman, or not Supreme Personality, they say Brahman is constant. Yeah? Brahman is Brahman. It cannot be anything but that, cannot change. So, therefore, when Brahman looks different, it must be illusion. The rope being mistaken for a snake. Is it a rope or is it a snake? Kind of thing. Vivartavat. Right? But the personalist devotees of the Lord, they say no, there is parinamavat, the results. Parinam means results. In other words, that which comes forth of the Lord. It is the Lord's energy, but it is separate from the Lord. It is the result of the Lord. Yes. So the Mayavadis say, how is this possible? Yeah? How is this possible? The Lord cannot change. We say no, it's not the Lord that changes, it is Shakti Parinamavat. Yeah? In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that term is parinamavat. We find this philosophy, but there it is phrased as shakti parinamavat. Yeah? Shakti parinamavat is referring that it is the energy that is transforming. It's the energy of the Lord is transforming. No problem. Energies can transform like anything. It's not the Lord. The Lord's not transforming. His energy is transforming, you see. So therefore, the Brahma Jyoti, it's the energy of the Lord, this Brahman philosophy. It's not the same. It's not the Lord. So therefore, it gets boring. Yeah? You can only be satisfied with the Lord personally. But then, therefore, Hiranmayena Patrena, therefore take away this effulgence and show me your dazzling, show me your face. your lotus feet. These Upanishads. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the wonderful explanation about Buddhism and impulsivism. Just mentioned about Srila Bhakti Sasadi Maharaj sent back to Godhead, and Srila Prabhupada is reportedly told to go back to Godhead. And so it's very clearly that Jiva's origin is, he came from the spiritual world. But what about, could you, if you kindly explain some of the people that believe that origin of Jiva is material world?
I know there's a problem that people. I know that people have a problem when they say that the jiva fell from the spiritual world. Many people have a problem with that.
Yes.
But I can understand that. But then again, if we did not come from the spiritual world, yes, we started somewhere else. That's worse, because then Krishna put us here. Then he's responsible. You see? If we fell from the spiritual world, then at least we can say it's our own fault, and therefore we should now go through some suffering and austerity to rectify ourselves and purify ourselves, so then I can tolerate it, right? That I have to go through this. But if Krishna did not do it, or if I didn't do it, if I'm not responsible, and I was created somewhere in another realm, not in the spiritual world, then Krishna has created me like that. I will never love him. Never. So that's a bigger problem. Yeah? So those who are not accepting that the jiva fell from the spiritual world, they're in bigger trouble. How can they love Krishna? I will not. If he put me here, I'll never forgive him for that. Never. But if I did it to myself, what can I do? It's more easy to forgive yourself, you know. Myself, I can't forgive myself. So no, there's a big problem with this, and they overlook that. You know? They look at the problem: how can the jiva fall from the spiritual world? Yeah, but what if he didn't? That's worse.
Thank you.
You had a question also, the last one.
I want to ask about Lord Kapila then.
Lord Kapila then.
About himself and the Supreme Personality of God.
Yes.
His Vishnu Tattva.
Yeah. From what I understand, this Vishnu Tattva. Yeah. Yeah. You thought he was Shakti Tattva? Did you read it somewhere like that?
No. I just don't know that.
Yeah. No, I think it's Vishnu Tattva. Of course. Yeah. If you ask me things off my memory, then it's treacherous. You know? When you cast doubt in my mind, also starts thinking, well, maybe I'm remembering wrong because I have a real bad memory, but Kapila Dev. Yeah. Vishnu Tattva. So, thank you very much. Siddha Prabhupada Ki.